Welcome to Mind Styling, the podcast that explores how we can win at the game inside our heads and make a mark on this world in our own unique style, on our own terms.
We interview entrepreneurs and leaders who aren't afraid to push the boundaries and set their own definitions of success. We will share with you the tips and techniques they use to style their mind and give you the tools you need to start mind styling for yourself.
Hello and welcome, lovely mind stylers, to this week's episode. I'm Amy Armstrong.
And I'm Dr. Becky Sage.
Today, Becky and I are talking about the top tips from Yasmin Sheikh. She was such an amazing woman to interview. It was way back in July that we interviewed her, Becky. Can't believe it.
So long ago. Yeah.
Since then, she's had a little baby boy who's a darling. So, anyway, Yasmin's top tip, it was be kind to yourself and set those wonderful goals. Yasmin was really clear about this, wasn't she? She said, what's big for you at this moment in time? And then every day, what can get me closer to reaching this point? How did that sit with you, Becky?
Yes, I thought there were so many things that resonated with me, and I, this idea of linking together actually being kind to yourself and goal setting. That's something that happened for me when I was thinking about this. And I know I have a tendency to set very big goals, and as I was reflecting on this, I thought that's great. You know, big goals. Great. Let's be ambitious. I think we all are. We all want to see big positive change in this world. And I think that can also be a form of self-sabotage and procrastination if we're not careful about how we do it. We can almost use it as a way to put up a barrier to ourselves. So something, this idea of what is big at this moment in time, and Yasmin was talking about even just getting to the bus stop was something that, you know, was a big goal for her. That was a big challenge. And, you know, for somebody whose life had turned around basically overnight, I'm just so amazed how she was able to take this in her stride, but this is the way she did it. And I really love this idea. And I certainly have used it at times as well, where it's about saying, today may not be the day that these huge things happen, but let's celebrate the small things. You know, what are the things that are right for you right now to be your goals? And when you achieve them, or when you do everything you can to work towards them, even if you don't achieve them, that, you know, celebrate at that point. And I think that sometimes we are not so good at doing that. I think sometimes we can brush past a lot of the little things because we minimize them, when actually even those little things can be really important sometimes.
It's something about state of mind, I think. And I think having the big juicy goals actually on that horizon, those massive big ones, they fire up a part of our brain that can really get us excited and motivated. But at the same time, as you say, they can also shut us down. And so it's actually thinking about where do we want to get to in the next 2 months, perhaps?
I think particularly when everything else feels quite out of our control, the little things do become really important, and those little steps and the positive actions you can take. And so often for me, actually, a lot, those things are around mindset as much as anything else. It's our gratitude practice, or I don't know, movement, or the other things you do to actually make yourself feel good and make yourself feel like you can step up every day, even when things are very much out of our control. And that we can then go and set some of these goals and work towards some of these goals, doing them in the context of the world that we're living in, because of course uncertainty is seems huge right now. We're also recording this on the day of the US election, which I feel like is just an extra piece of uncertainty that is again completely beyond our control, but potentially has impact for everybody around the world. And it's it can be tough. So I think that really focusing on these things that we do have control over is useful. And so and the other thing I was just going to say is this idea of goals aren't linear. And so the idea, sometimes I think I don't set the smaller goals, or I'm reluctant about smaller goals because I can't see if I'm only doing something small now, how does that amplify into something big that I want to achieve? And actually having to remind myself that that journey is not a linear journey. Sometimes it's about building momentum and trying to keep that momentum going. And you can do that with small things. And then the big things might happen in a way that, again, is beyond what seems like your control. So as much as we can be uncertain about things that might not go to plan, things not going to plan also means that we can get big things that we might not have planned for.
I like your positive spin. But I think it's also just picking up on, you're so right on the small things that are in our control, because actually giving ourselves a sense of satisfaction of achieving something is a really important, and it contributes to a healthy mindset. I love the concept of a cascade of small wins. And so actually, if I am working towards having a really productive day, getting up and going for a run could seem off kilter to that really productive day, but actually I know it'll set my mind up so I'm in a better place. And if it's on my list, then just ticking it off means that in that moment I have started to make progress towards my ultimate goal. I work with clients on this concept of being able to move towards your goals and see the progress. And we can get overwhelmed very easily. And I like to set minimum, medium, and maximum intentions really for the day. So a minimum would be, if I achieved only one thing today and it was still a good day, what would that one thing need to be? And then the medium would be, and what else would make it even better?
Yeah.
And then the maximum is, oh, and in an ideal world with luck and a fair wind, where is it? What do I do? And actually what we've done then is we've got three steps. On top of that are those tasks that absolutely have to be done today. Like, I don't know, an MOT for the car, or
my MOT is due on Thursday, so
mine was on Halloween, so we're sorted on that one.
Okay.
You'll be fine. But it's those things, or that email that you haven't replied to, but you must do today. But actually, instead of having this overwhelming list of to-dos, you end up with a finite, tight number.
Yes.
And actually, if you can get down to five things that you're aiming for in a day, then it suddenly becomes possible.
I really like that. And the way you described that minimum, what's the minimum that still really looks like a good day? That's definitely something I've been practicing recently. And that to me is also kind of related to the 80-20 rule. And it helps me to go, what's the, if I was to focus on just one or two things rather than everything, you know, what's the big block that I want to clear out, and what's the thing that I can do that's going to make the most impact in clearing that thing or moving towards that thing, to put a positive spin on it. It's not necessarily about clearing out bad things. So that's something that, is, I think it relates to what you were saying there about the minimum, and then having those, the three steps really does allow you to start to think bigger and set some bigger intentions as well, and hopefully manifest some bigger things and have some fun doing that through having those three steps. I really like that.
So taking it a next step further, I was talking before about having that sort of the big horizon, the big picture things that you're aiming towards. And I see that very much as putting the postcode into your GPS. Now, so often we have multiplicity of big things we want, like we want to move house, we want to have a summer holiday, we want to move the decimal point on our salary. We want to, you know, start a new company that's going to eradicate poverty yep. from the world and all of these amazing things. Actually, if again, we can come down to three, if we can yep. say what crystallize our three big, juicy, exciting goals, what we're doing then is we're setting our GPS. We're saying these are the directions we're heading in. And making mm-hmm. sure that actually we keep at least one of them in our mind's eye. It might not be on a daily basis, but actually on a weekly basis. Yeah. Just fulfilling our promises to ourselves and saying, what yeah. small thing can I do to move myself closer to? And you, for instance, are writing a book at the moment. Mm-hmm. And you are regularly yeah. sitting down and writing. And every time yeah. you pick up your pen and whether you're, I don't know, brainstorming the structure of a chapter or thinking of another story or case study to include, or, oh my goodness, there's that amazing quote I must add in. Each time you're having those thoughts, you are moving yourself measurably yeah. closer towards that goal. And it's a goal yeah. that many of us, so many of us say we want to write a book. You are writing it. And it's because you're moving yourself measurably closer almost yeah. on a day-to-day basis.
Well, and it's exactly that, actually, is that I, once I'd made the decision to do it, of course, that's almost the first step, is to really believe in that big goal that you have and say, yes, actually, this is the time I'm going to start moving towards that. It's always been there. Now it's actually serious and feels achievable and feels relevant. And I have the time to do it as well. So, as soon as I'd made that decision, all I had to do was clear out time. And it had actually been coming for a long time. So the sitting down and writing it and getting words out, it has not been the tough part. It's been about clearing out that space and saying, yes, this is a thing that's going to have, it's going to be one of my priorities. Not every day. There's other things that have to be done as well, but creating that space. And of course, something like a book is a lovely one because you can very easily break that down. It's something that Yasmin talked about a lot as well, you know, breaking down those goals into bite-sized pieces. Yeah, with a book, it is relatively easy to do that in the sense of you're trying to get a certain number of words, a certain number of chapters. You know, you're trying to get to a point that where you can literally, well, you can measure those things. You can measure those things very easily and you can see progress very easily. And then, of course, you've got the other bits of it to do with publishing and things. But yeah, just getting it down and getting those words out is, in fact, relatively easy to measure and an objective thing. So I've found that quite enjoyable because I feel like quite often the goals are not as easy to measure as that one. And maybe that's why I've made progress quite easily, was because those goals, like I said, have been very smart in many ways.
Yes. And smart yeah. is, I mean, there are so many different definitions of smart goals, but yeah. I'm teaching them to my Cardiff Business School students right now. But there's specific, measurable, or it could be meaningful, which I like.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Achievable or attainable, realistic and timely. And but there are so many variations on all of them. Yes, but I think, isn't it great? Because I think you've hit on something really important there is us creating steps towards our goal that are measurable, that we can see progress against.
The other thing on that is the things that are under our control. So let's take another example of a deal that I wanted to try and push through. It's in somebody else's hands and I needed them to respond. I needed their input. The only thing I could control was how I was trying to elicit that input. In that particular case, I had to just phone somebody every day, emails, you know, and it's just keeping it up and being consistent and probably getting on their nerves a little bit, but the message got through and I got back the thing I needed to get back. And so I think that's another thing that we need to think about with our goals, is this idea of how do we make sure that enough of it is under our control that we don't lose the motivation to put in the input that we need to put in. At the same time, recognizing that some of the really great things are going to have lots of things that are out of our control as well.
And you pick up though on a really important point is how you want to show up, how you can show up, and how you can sustain that motivation. And of course, if you have decided that you do have control over this because you can do X, Y, and Z, then it's about how do you get your mind in the right place so that you are still doing X, Y, and Z. Because of course, you need to be in a good place for when to even notice feedback to be able to respond to it timely and quickly when it comes back to you. So there's so much that we can do in how we show up. And actually, Yasmin talks about remembering and connecting back to remember you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we do feel a bit out of control, who can we reach out to for support to help anchor ourselves, to help us get back into a centered place and reconnect to what we can do about the situation?
And I think something that I've had to learn around that as well is sometimes it's not people. Sometimes it's your support system in a broader sense of it as well. People can be very helpful, but at the same time, sometimes for me, I have to withdraw and I have to write and I have to, or I have to go and work out, or I have to get back to that place. So certainly other people can help with that, and they can help me center and get back to that good place. But I think sometimes it's, in fact, I have to go back to myself and have my own space as well. So to the point about invisible diseases, because that was coming up a lot with Yasmin, this is a big factor for me because I have an invisible disease. I have AS, and it's been that was one where connecting to people really did help. And it was really the way Yasmin was talking about it as well, that, you know, people who've gone through specific things. When you have an invisible disease, it can be very confusing, and it can be very, well, certainly what I've got can be very erratic. In some ways, I've not been that hit by all the strange things that have gone on in 2020, because throughout my life, or certainly throughout my adult life, there have been periods of time when all of a sudden I just can't even get up out of bed, or I can't, the energy I did have the day before just isn't there, or, you know, all sorts of different things, suddenly being in a lot of pain and having this confusing thing going on. And I think that's also been something where I've really had to learn about these, I love what you said about the cascade of small wins. And things like that, because actually the opposite to that is it can be a not very helpful spiral into a very negative place. And so really picking up on what are the small things I can do, being kind to myself, understanding myself. And like I said, when I was able to connect with other people who had this condition for the first time, I was like, oh, it's not mad that one day I can be out doing gymnastics and flipping on a beam, and then, you know, and then suddenly I can barely even move my body. I mean, that might sound normal anyway, I don't know. but you know, it's this idea of having something where your body just attacks itself is has been a struggle, and and I think that's, when I was talking to Yasmin, my situation is very different to hers, but that a lot of things she was talking about, I very much related to around that, and these tips about goal setting, being kind to yourself, rewarding yourself when you do the things that are important right now, and then connecting with other people who maybe have been through that journey as well. All of those things that were really important for me to hear.
And a really strong message throughout our interview, and whenever I connect with Yasmin, is focusing on what we can do, not what we can't do. Lovely. So I think that brings us to reminding everyone of the mind styling 3 C's: curiosity, community, and compassion.
So get curious by being kind to yourself, and figure out what kind of goals do work for you, and whether you resonate with any of the things we're talking about right now.
And please join our community, subscribe to our podcast so you get the notifications when we publish again. And please connect with us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We would love to hear all about your thoughts and reflections on goal setting and how to be kind to yourself and get what matters most done.
And do it all with compassion. Like Yasmin said, be kind to yourself and be compassionate towards others and enjoy your mind styling journey.
We hope you enjoyed that interview as much as Becky and I did. Details about where you can find our guest are in the show notes below. Now, Becky, where can we find you?
You can find me at beckysage.com, or I hang out a lot on Instagram. So that's at Dr. Becky Sage. You can find things about how to get business coaching with me there. Also, if you'd like to invite me to be a speaker or to work on any of your projects, then please do get in touch. So, Amy, where can our listeners go if they want to find out more about you?
You can find me at amyarmstrongcoaching.com. Come and explore leadership and well-being coaching and hypnotherapy. And if you're struggling with that common SOS of stress, overwhelm, self-doubt, please don't hesitate to reach out. It would be so good to connect. So we can't always control the situations that are going on outside of us, but we can be in control of how we react to those situations.
And that is what mind styling is all about.